Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Dave Gatto. We're going to turn the page and turn to Yanowa's testimony, as we do. His is a lone, rational voice in a highly corrupted world. I was do want to say a couple of things, though, before we move into the second segment of our program today. The first is that I had serious concerns about initially booking John on the program, because his resume begins Naval Academy grad, U.S. Marine Corps, and then FBI. And so when you read those things and you realize that those institutions are all part of the problem, you immediately say, boy, this is a real concern. But I did take the time. I read his website, and what I learned there was that his presentation of Islam was accurate. And so I said, you know, this could be really interesting to talk to a person who is actually an insider, who has a an accurate view of Islam and is willing to say it. And what we found is that John is extraordinarily articulate. He is knowledgeable, and he is willing to convey the truth, even when the truth is politically incorrect to convey. My hope is that we'll have John back on another program, and we'll discuss the history of the plot known as 9/11, because that should be quite interesting from an insider's perspective. The second thing I wanted to do is that twice Salem Radio News has had an ad from a woman who wants you to send her money. She wants you to send her $360 a year so that you can sponsor her evangelical outreach to Asian women. Don't do it. The entire concept of what she is promoting is revolting. Gospel is a pagan term, as we discussed yesterday. It means God's spelled. It has no basis whatsoever in God's testimony. It isn't one of his terms. It isn't, can't even be accurately derived from the Greek text. There is no Jesus Christ. That is wrong on every possible way. There is no correlation between Jesus and Yahusha, and Christ is not a last name. It was supposed to be a title. It is based on the wrong word, and it's a Hebrew title, not a Greek title, so the Greek should not have been transliterated. The closest analog to Jesus is Jesus, the savior of the Druid religion, which is a pagan religion where the horned one is God. The ending of the name is almost identical to Zeus. Christ is based on a Greek word that speaks of the application of drugs, extraordinarily similar to Krishna. Has absolutely no correlation to the truth. And we'll speak about that in a moment. And the Lord is Satan's title. Satan can convince people that they have been healed. Satan can perform miracles. That's why Yahusha in the Sermon on the Mount told those who refer to him as the Lord and who claim to have done mighty things, including miracles in his name, to get away from him, that he does not know them, to leave his presence. They are unwelcome, all of them. So you don't want to sponsor an organization that Yahusha has specifically said will be excommunicated. She was not saved, the woman that they talked to. She was condemned by this organization. Now, yesterday, many of you who are listening to this program know that we began speaking about the Shabbat and the importance of Shabbat. We're having a grand time on Shabbat. And we got a call from Patrick, who was a Christian. And the first two-thirds of that discussion, I think, went as well as a discussion can go with a religious zealot. And that is that I was able to ask him questions and provide evidence that proved conclusively that there is no basis whatsoever for Jesus, there is no basis for Christ, that they are both completely wrong, and that the name that Yahweh chose is Yahusha, and that he affirmed that name. And we went through etymological histories of words. We went through the development of language. We went through Yahweh's testimony, where he gives us that name 220 times to demonstrate what was true and to prove what was false. And after doing so three times to be worse than speaking to a brick wall. You know, you speak to a brick wall, you get your own echo back. But no, this was far worse than that. This was like speaking to a fan set behind a bowl of vomit. That you convey Yahweh's testimony, you convey a basis for making a rational and informed decision based upon language and word development, the actual textual evidence that is available to us. And rather than the person saying, wow, I did not know that. Now that you've said that, I need to verify what you've said, but if it's true, it changes everything. Rather than responding in a rational and intelligent way, Patrick simply vomited all over the show. Now, in hindsight, I must tell you that that after we had gone over this information three times and he vomited all over himself in an irrational and ignorant fashion three times, we probably didn't need the fourth time. And I made two mistakes in the fourth segment of going over this material that I will try not to make again. One is the analogy that I wanted to make was valid, but I chose the wrong term, and I will speak to that in just a second. And the second is that I care a lot about Yahweh. He is my best friend. He is my father. I love him. I love his name. I love his personality. I love his testimony. I love his covenant. I am absolutely, deeply, and wholeheartedly in love with him. And when someone consistently besmirches him and disregards his testimony, I get irritable. Now, that's probably not an appropriate response, but I can't help it. I am not an innocent bystander. This isn't a game to me. I'm not doing this because I do it for a living. I do it because I enjoy it. Because I enjoy my time with you. I enjoy my time with him. I enjoy learning and sharing. And when somebody vomits all over Yahweh in his name, I don't take it well. Because I love him. And I love his name. And I love everything he represents. Now, let's go back to the poor choice of words. What I wanted to make is a point, because I was aware of the discussion that Yahweh has on this, and yet didn't have it at my fingertips. It was one of my great failings, and I have lots of them, but one of my great failings is that, well, I think I have a pretty good understanding of who Yahweh is, you know, what the covenant represents, how he has facilitated the promises of the covenant through the called out invitations, the mikre. I've got a pretty good understanding of the relationship between Yahweh, spiritual energy, and Yahusha, the most set apart as a physical manifestation of Yahweh, and the relationship with this, who the set apart spirit is and how she serves in our lives. I think I have a pretty good understanding of how to observe the Torah. My weakness is that I don't know as much as I would like. And my recall at times isn't as good as it should be. And so it's one of the vulnerabilities of doing a program like this is that that's one of my failures. I've come at knowing Yahweh late in life. I've come at appreciating his Torah late in life. And, you know, I'm a flawed implement. I'm just not as receptive, and my retention and recall isn't nearly as good as I wish it was. when I was trying to come up with a name that represents the Yahweh's reaction to calling Yahusha the Messiah, Jesus Christ, I should have used the analogy, the metaphor that Yahweh used. I was working in that direction, but didn't quite get there. The term that he uses is bull feces. Yes, bull feces. It's the dung that comes out of the bull right while it's wet and hot. Bull feces. That's the term that he uses. Calling him Jesus Christ and thereby demeaning his name by failing to value it is akin to calling him bull feces. Now I'm going to share with you the passage that is especially germane as it relates to this, because I'm not sharing now my contention, but God's. This is what he himself said through a prophet whose name means messenger. Malachi, which is Malachi. And now, for you all, this specific condition. Priests, ministers, judges, government officials. He used the term Cohen. Cohen would be priests, ministers, judges, government officials, clerics, teachers, officers, counselors, and advisors. All of those people. So he's speaking to the primarily to the religious, but also to the academic and to the political establishment, even the judicial establishment. And now for you all, this specific condition. Priests, ministers, judges, and government officials, clerics, teachers, officers, counselors, and advisors. If you do not listen, and if you do not place it on your heart to give respect and attribute a very high status to my name, says Yahweh, of the command and control implements, Shabbat, then I will dispatch in association with you the curse of estrangement and of incarceration. That which snares and binds and confines, that which separates hems ends and renders powerless. To be estranged from God, to be incarcerated by God, is to go to Sheol, which is known as hell from the Greek. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We are getting Yahweh's insights into his view of not respecting his name. Changing his name to Jesus Christ when it is Yahweh, and when Yahusha means Yahweh saves, is the ultimate disrespect. And so what does God say about the specific condition when priests, ministers, judges, government officials, clerics, teachers, officers, counselors, and advisors don't listen to him and they don't respect his name? This is what he says. And now, for you all, this specific condition. Priests, ministers, judges, government officials, clerics, teachers, officers, counselors, and advisors. If you do not listen, if you do not place it on your heart. By the way, how would you listen to God? Read his Torah and prophets, right? Recite his Torah and prophets out loud, and you're listening to God. You're listening to God right now. Yeah, I know his voice is a lot better than mine. But this is his testimony. So you're listening to his word right now. That's something that Patrick was unwilling to do yesterday. God says, if you don't listen to me, and if you don't place it in your heart to give respect to my name, Yahweh, then here's the consequence. I will dispatch in association with you the curse of estrangement and incarceration. Yeah, it's no wonder that Yahusha said, those who call me Lord, Lord, which is obviously disrespecting his name, those who claim to have done all of these wonderful things in the name of Satan, Lord, to go away from me. That is estrangement. If you're being estranged from God and not being your soul not being eliminated, then it is incarceration. You need to know here, this is the penalty. This is not a consequence in the sense of If you're a victim of religion, if you have been beguiled into believing that God's name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you think that your God died for you, if you think that Paul was wrote Scripture, if you've been beguiled in this way and you're the victim of religion, then you, at the end of your existence, there is no judgment. Your soul just simply vanishes. It ceases to exist. But that's not what's being said here. Those who deliberately disrespect Yahweh's name, particularly those who are priests, ministers, judges, government officials, clerics, teachers, officers, counselors, and advisors, if you do not listen, now these are the perpetrators of religion and politics. If you do not listen, to whom? Yahweh. How do you listen to Yahweh? Read the Torah and prophets. And you do not give respect to my name, which none of them do. The whole concept of Christianity, Jesus Christ, of Lord, is disrespecting Yahweh's name. Then I will dispatch in association with you the curse of estrangement and incarceration. You're going to hell. Now, hell is from Hades, the Greek term, and the proper term in Hebrew is Sheol. But it is the place of eternal separation from God. That's where you're going. That's the consequence. Anyone who promotes what Patrick was promoting yesterday is going to spend eternity in Sheol, which is hell. Anyone who believes what Patrick said yesterday, their soul will cease to exist upon their death. This is really serious stuff. Not my opinion. That's what God says. If you do not give respect to my name, Yahweh, then you're going to be estranged and incarcerated. That is what hell is all about. It's estrangement from God and being incarcerated, eternally separated from God. Now, here's the line that we're going to get to the line here in a moment that that speaks of God's view of this and the metaphor that he uses. He says then, and I will disable and disassociate, therefore, all of your blessings. Now, there's five primary blessings of the covenant, and there's only one of them, which means there cannot be an Old Testament and a New Testament. Five benefits of the covenant. They are eternal life, being perfected by God so that our flaws vanish in his sight, becoming his children, adopted into his family, being enriched and empowered by him. These events are facilitated, these benefits are facilitated by the first four mikra. If you don't observe the mikra, as no Christian does, then you can't receive any of those benefits. And those benefits are only available to those who avail themselves of the covenant by embracing its terms and conditions. So those benefits are disabled and disassociated from those who do not respect Yahweh's name. All of those blessings, eternal life, being saved, becoming God's child, being invited into heaven, being enriched and empowered by God, all of those blessings vanish if you do not respect his name. That's why I was so angry with the ad speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I was so angry with the man yesterday who wanted to promote such hellish doctrine. We'll return in a moment. Yeah, it was extraordinarily clear on what he thinks and what he says is going to happen to those, the consequence and the penalty for those who disrespect his name. There are nothing you can do that would be more disrespectful of Yahweh's name than to change it. I would say that's the single most disrespectful thing you can do in his name. Now, the only thing that would be close to changing his name in terms of being disrespectful, ignoring his name, not acknowledging or using his name, which would be disrespectful, but replacing his name with Satan's name and title, Lord, would be also right up there on the hit parade of, if you wanted to have the big three of showing no respect for Yahweh's name, it would be, one, replacing it with the name and title Lord from Baal in Hebrew, who is associated with Satan. Number two, changing his name so that it is now you're praying to and speaking on behalf of a Jesus Christ that bears no association whatsoever to Yahweh. Or number three, completely ignoring it, so that you no longer care about it, no longer think about it. Those would be the big three. And so now for you all, this specific condition, priests, ministers, judges, government officials, if you do not listen, and if you do not place it upon your heart to give respect to my name, says Yahweh, of the control and command implements, then I will dispatch in association with you the curse of estrangement and incarceration. That means you're going to hell. That's what that means. And I will disable and disassociate, therefore, all of your blessings. What are the blessings? Blessings are pretty straightforward. The blessings are eternal life. They're all the covenant's blessings. Eternal life, being perfected, therefore, redeemed and saved, being adopted into God's family, being a member of the covenant, being enriched and empowered. Those are the blessings. They're all gone. Can't be saved. If you're going to disrespect and disregard Yahweh's name, going to change his name, if you're going to use even Lord in lieu of his name, then you need to recognize that there are no blessings of the covenant that apply to you. Can't be saved, can't engage in a relationship with God. And that the consequence of perpetrating this myth is you're going to hell. Sheol. Curse of estrangement and incarceration. Therefore, all of your blessings, they are disassociated. Surely I will cause you to be estranged and I will incarcerate you because you have not taken this to heart. And of course, when you use Yahweh's testimony to convey to a Christian, any religious individual, what God's position is, and it bounces off of them like a brick wall, like talking to a stone, then you have the epitome of not taking it to heart. Because to take it to heart, that's an entire process. That means that you've got to receive the information through your eyes or through your ears. You've got to process that information with your mind. You have to reach a conclusion based upon that information and then incorporate that which you have learned and what you have decided based upon that information into the core aspect of your life. So that it's a guiding principle of your life. That's what it means to take it to heart. I mean, that's a lot more than simply processing it, simply receiving the information. And for a religious person, it bounces off them. They can't even, it doesn't even permeate their brains. And they are a million miles from taking it to heart. That's what taking it to heart means. Got to go through the ears and the eyes into the brain, be processed in the brain to reach a conclusion that is so essential to you, so important to you, that you incorporate it into the fabric of your life. Now, God was not finished. And this is the part of this testimony that I wanted to get to, and then we'll chat with Glenn, who is calling in from Philadelphia. Behold, I'm going to disapprove and reprimand you as well as your offspring. And I will spread and cast away dung, perish, the waste product of bulls, feces, excrement, refuse, and vomit from parash, that which distinctly separates and scatters relationships. I will spread and cast away dung on your faces, the waste product of your feasts and festivals, and it will carry you to it. Carry you to what? To separation and estrangement, to incarceration. What's going to carry them to it? Bull feces. Smeared on their faces as a direct product of their religious festivals and feasts. Christmas, Easter, Lent. Their pagan ideology that they have embraced as Christianity is looked at as God, as bull feces. When you disregard God's name, he looks at you as if you're smeared with bull dung right out of the old rear end of a bull. That's what you smell like. That's what you look like to God. And so calling God the Lord Jesus Christ is akin to calling him bull dung. With that known, I'd like to welcome Glenn to the program. Glenn has been a frequent caller of the program, and I understand you have a question on the pronunciation of Yahweh's name. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning, Alan. I'm curious as to what your take is on the pronunciation of Yahweh's name as it's rendered by Messianic Jews, which is usually as Yeshua HaMashiach, which isn't exactly the way you say it, but it's much more in the ballpark.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's better. I have a real issue with Messianic Jews, and my issue is that almost all Messianic Jews blend rabbinical Judaism with the Pauline Christianity. And as a result, what they get is the curse of both religions as opposed to just one religion. Now, as it relates to Yeshua, it's wrong on both accounts. If you look at the pronunciation of the Hebrew He, as it is presented in, well, probably 1,000 words in the Torah and Prophets, 99.9% of the time the Hebrew He appears in a word, it is pronounced Ah. 99.9%. In fact, the basis of Yahweh's name is the Hebrew verb Haya. It means exists. And first person, Ihaya, would be I was, I am, I will be. And so God has told us that the verb that is the basis of his name is Haya. And if you look at words like Torah, the pronunciation of the verb Hey is Ah 99.9% of the time. So there is absolutely no justification for Ye. The verb Shua in Hebrew is used twice in association with Yahweh's name. In the whole of the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, you'll find it twice. And it means to cry out. And so is it a valid exception? Yes, it's a valid exception. But it's used two times when Yahusha is used 220 times. And Yahusha means Yahweh saves. His primary mission is to save. There were a couple of times in his life that he cried out. And so to say that Yahweh cries out is valid at two unique points in his life, both very close together in time. And so it is not erroneous. It's just an exception. And that's the 1% exception, if you will. And to say, so it is 99% of the time when Yahweh himself presents his corporeal manifestation's name, it is Yahusha. Does that help?
I think it's much more in the ballpark, than Jesus Christ at least.
Be careful here. Be careful, Glenn. You're a smart guy. I just want you to be careful here. The more credible a lie is, the more beguiling it is. In other words, the lie Jesus Christ is so stupid. It's so absolutely erroneous. It is so unjustifiable that if you're stuck at Jesus Christ. It's so obvious that it is wrong on all accounts that you really have no excuse. Now, with Yeshua, it is really based on that pronunciation. It's based on two things. One is the Shoah, which is called the Shiva system of the Masoretes, which was specifically designed to corrupt and mislead. And number two, it's based on an acronym that means his name should be blotted out. And so, if you have a name that is still disassociated from Yahweh, Yeh is disassociating it from Yahweh. And the Yeshua disassociates it from Yahweh's primary mission, which is to save us. But because it's closer to the real thing, is it not just like a more effectively crafted counterfeit bill that makes it more credible, even though it's still worthless?
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I kind of given a scenario the other week about a case of my working with a client who wouldn't be able to pronounce my name.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I would initially, you know, certainly a child or someone brain injured,
sure.
Which one could well argue that we are brain injured.
I would agree.
Anyway.
I will raise my hand and say that, you know, Moshe claimed to be a stutterer. He has a thick tongue. He didn't articulate. Well, I'm going to say I'm brain damaged. So I'll admit that.
I understand, you know, both the qualitatively and quantitatively what you're saying in terms of emphasis and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But I'm thinking of a scenario in which, let's say we're in a work environment where a bunch of malicious troublemakers had told a client that my name was A.H., you know.
Okay.
And then, so they go home, and I'm taking care of this client. And now he's calling for me A.H. Okay, now this is clearly not my name.
Right.
But I'm aware that the client has a legitimate need, and I'm his caregiver.
Right.
And I'm going to kind of like roll my eyes and laugh that these troublemakers got away with inculcating this incorrect name in the mind of my client. And I will go and assist that client and show him my character.
Mm-hmm.
And then and continue and if he you know does I'll try and explain my name and if he doesn't get it he does it again innocently and ignorantly and so then I kind of like roll my eyes and snicker when he does it and then after a while if I know that this client has the capacity to eventually process and make this correction then over time I will expect him to make the necessary correction as I've shown him my
and if he's capable, if he's mentally capable of it and he constantly ignores you, then what?
Well, at some point then I'm going, but initially...
And what if you're more than a caregiver? You're actually God. So I wanted to conclude with something that Glenn had said. I thought he asked a very good question and thoughtfully responded to the answer, and that I thought his example regarding his name and how he would approach it was also interesting. I do want to conclude with one thought, however, which is that Yahweh told us exactly how he's going to respond to those who disrespect his name, who don't use Yahweh, who don't call him by that name, and who corrupt his name disregarding it. He says that they will suffer disassociation and imprisonment, incarceration. So it since... I like Glenn's opinions and find them interesting, obviously I like my own opinions and must find them interesting. They really don't matter. It's only God's that matters, and he has been unequivocal on this matter. We have Jaime, who's calling in from Colombia. It's our first call to the program from Colombia. Welcome, Jaime. I understand you have a number of questions for us.
Yes, hi, Yada. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you. Your English is wonderful. Were you born in Colombia, or did you move there?
Well, I was born in Colombia at the age of 5 in the year 1957. Our parents moved to, they had already started the migration, or whatever you call it, immigration, to the United States. But at the age of 5, I ended up there, and I grew up there, all the school and everything. And then in 2009, after some stuff that happened in the judicial justice courts and divorce where they ripped me off of everything, including my children, the only way that I could survive was to leave. So I decided to return back to where I was born and arrived here in 2009, and I don't regret it, and I'll never go back.
You're striking a chord with me, Jaime, which is that the American laws relative to divorce are egregious. I mean,
yes.
The whole idea of alimony and of the way that the courts deal with the divorce are so egregious and so onerous towards men that they are just absolutely despicable. And go ahead, share an example, but it's the epitome of American justice not being just.
Well, to begin with, there's a gentleman, his name slips away from me right away, but he had done an incredible study on the divorce court system.
Yes.
And he discovered that the, what do they call that, the no-fault divorce, which was actually designed and implemented by, it was either Stalin or Lenin. It is one of the methods that's used to destroy the family, and it's actually being used to destroy the fathers. Okay.
Of course. Yes, emasculate and, fathers, as is our whole education process. You know, Title IX is a great example to demasculate men, and political correctness is all about that. Now, you had a question, Jamie, on what we're talking about here. Since we only have 3 minutes left, I'd love to hear your question.
Well, I have a number of questions, but I'll go back another day as well.
Oh, please.
The first
please.
That I have is this. Abraham's name was changed to Abraham.
Correct.
And so, you know, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard some teachings that basically we, who once we come to the knowledge of Yah and Yahweh, et cetera, that we really need to change our names as well into a Hebraic name, because most of our names are all pagan. Okay? And therefore, that could be an issue.
Yeah. Well, actually, let's think about this for a moment. Did Abram change his name?
Well, Yahweh changed it. He gave him a new name.
Yahweh changed his name, didn't he?
Correct.
All right. So if Yahweh wishes to change your or my name, you and I are going to say, you betcha. For this program, I chose to change my name, but it's a name that I chose. Yada is not my name. I chose to use Yada as for this program. But, what God has already told us, Jaime, as it relates to the covenant, is that we gain the most important name in the universe. We become whoever we are plus Yahweh. So, for the moment, you're Jaime ben Yahweh. My strong suspicion is that when we show up in Yahweh's home, first, no suspicion here at all. We're going to speak Hebrew. Hebrew will be the language spoken. We know that for a fact. And so,
we'll automatically get that? We'll automatically just have full knowledge of Hebrew?
Absolutely. Okay. And we'll not only have full knowledge of Hebrew, we're going to have a copy of the Torah written inside of us. That's one of the promises that Yahweh makes, is he literally places a complete copy of his Torah inside of us. And there's two times that this is going to happen. He does it upon his return, so we have the existing Torah. But as it relates to the universe after the millennial Shabbat, we have to have a new teaching placed inside of us. And so, yes, his Torah is placed inside of us every jot and tittle, which means that we'll be fluent in Hebrew. And I think at that time, I think he's going to give us all Hebrew names.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're at the end of the program. I would love it for you to call back again and often. Thank you.
I have a lot of questions. I have all your recordings. I've downloaded everything.